He said you do a pretty good Australian accent.
I mean, I don't want to say it's good, you know, but it's not bad.
That's like somebody with something like wrong with them talking. Like,
that's how all my accents are the place, but someone's having an accident. And I mean, I don't know why that makes
terrible
it bad, because there are plenty of people who are having accidents in every part of the world with every accent. So
exactly.
Like, it's, go with it. Like,
everyone, and welcome to Free Devil Good Home. My name is Michael Hing, and I'm also joined, as always, by a man who has an infection on his hand that he just showed me. It's Ben Jenkins. Hello, Ben.
Okay, that is not a good way to introduce me.
Well, you've cut your hand open, you've got quite an infected wound there, and you asked me to draw a pen around it so you could work out if it was growing or not.
Yeah, I did, and I don't know. My wife was kind of freaking out about it because she thought it was the sort of thing that you would like in the Middle Ages die of.
Oh, sure.
Also, because I refuse to put any... I'm going to hold it up to our guest, and I don't know if you can see on the...
Oh, dear.
What's your...
Is that from one of the 5,000 species of deadly spider or snake that inhabit your cursed island?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Matt Crispin. Thank you so much for joining us, mate.
Right on. Happy to be here.
Oh my god, we really did request like quite a few times you stop doing that.
call the police or just have sex with them.
I want to say it's really wonderful that you joined us, and I don't know if the best way to start this off was to show you a wound on my hand.
No,
it's a good vibe curation, if nothing else.
Matt, do you have any wounds you'd like to share with us, perhaps?
Nothing opened. I've got a kind of a skinned knee.
Okay. Just mental stuff, just internal stuff. I get turmoil, etc.
Because that is sort of the, at least the opening part of the podcast is wound chat. So, I mean, it'd be good if you brought something
Everyone's
to the table.
Everyone's just doing the scene from Jaws where they're just showing each other their stuff.
Exactly. I got this wound when we were up on a farm. I took me and my wife took our little 2-year-old up to a farm, which was like half an hour from Canberra, 3 hours from here.
Was this work or fun?
What do you mean? Are you asking if I went to work on a farm?
I don't know. Maybe you've got like.
Are you asking if this was a sort of Grapes of Wrath situation?
Kind of a side hustle or something? I don't know. I don't know what you do when we're not doing the podcast.
Yeah, I was doing my side hustle where I go up and I pick fruit. We were up at a friend's house, and I burnt my hand on their oven getting the bread that they bake out of there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And did you feel useless?
I felt so useless, so emasculated. And it was also a bit of a bust of a trip because Matt, our son, is kind of like a lockdown child in that like he hasn't really gone to a heap of places because like a lot of his... Well, not a lot. We didn't have like a huge lockdown here, but like we're trying to like kind of make up for the time that he spent inside by like taking him to places. And so like we took him to this friend's farm, and I thought like this is going to be one of those things that he remembers, like one of his first memories.
A core memory,
exactly. We woke up in the morning on this farm, and it was like up on top of this hill. It was really misty and beautiful, and I looked out the kitchen window, and there were 3 roos just like sitting there.
These are kangaroos, Matt?
Sorry, Matthew, these are kangaroos.
I've heard of them. I know they're really good at boxing.
Yeah. Well, they were just standing there like so close, like maybe like 6 feet away from the kitchen window. So I bundled Mo up in like a little jacket and put little boots on him, and like we walked outside, and like I kind of got him close to the roos, and I was like, hey, buddy, look, there are some kangaroos. And he looked at the kangaroos, and then he looked at me, and then he looked at the kangaroos again, and then he looked at me, and he just said, okay.
He's like, okay.
Which is the most disappointing response a child can have, I think, to nature. Okay.
Yeah, you don't want that. Because that just means they found something way more interesting on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. They're just like, Dad, take me somewhere else where there's a screen, please.
Take me back to YouTube. Hey, this is a podcast where we go through classifieds and find the best and worst stuff to talk about. Whenever we have a new guest on, Matt, we ask... Do you buy or sell stuff online at all, or have you ever?
No, I don't think I've ever put anything on the internet. I don't know where these people have been.
So you're afraid of the filth coming to, knock down your door and abuse you or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, no thanks. Keep that away.
You've never bought anything on eBay or you don't have Gumtree, but or Craigslist or nothing like that. You are a bricks and mortar.
Yeah, I want to look someone in the eye who doesn't want to be there when I make my purchase. That's how I know it's good. That's the mark of that's the guarantee of quality.
Yeah, that look in their eyes.
Yeah. Well, I'll kick us off with one that has been sent in by Sam Ramsdonk, who's in the Netherlands. Thank you, Sam.
Sorry.
I don't know if that's how you say the name. Ramsdonk?
I'm sure Ramsdonk is like Smith in the Netherlands, but that's a wonderful name.
It's wonderful. So he sent in this photo, and it's all in, like, I guess, Danish in the Netherlands? No, Dutch. It's all in Dutch.
Okay.
And I can't read that, obviously, but then there's a picture of I think a tombstone or something.
Oh, that looks like a tombstone to me, yeah.
And then he said, "Hi, I'm from the Netherlands, so I'll translate this for you." Just writes this.
Oh, so Sam Ramsdonk has translated this for
us. Yeah, into English, English, so we can read it.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Sam Ramsdonk.
"For sale, 3 granite tombstones."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
"I'm selling these because this has been in our yard as a bench for a very long time. We never knew that it was tombstones.
Oh, fuck.
Now we know this and we want to get rid of it." "Serious offers only, listed under free. Please, please take this off my hands."
Please, please take this off my hands.
Mm. This is, someone discovering there's a tombstone in their backyard.
Not only in their backyard, but as like a bench, right?
As a bench, yeah, yeah. I guess
that's my first question. Matt, would you have a problem with this? If you had a nice bench that you'd sat on for years and then you discovered that it was a tombstone, would that be an issue for you?
I don't see why it would be. I mean, if I had not seen any spooks or ghouls, then I got to assume that it's an uncursed tombstone and therefore, hey, perfectly good bench.
Yeah. So
this is a kind of American pragmatism that we sort of have been lacking on this show.
We fully lack it here in Australia.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It must be pretty good if you can just turn your nose up at a perfectly serviceable bench because it's just made out of tombstones.
Yeah. That's the other thing. The sort of granite that typically is used for tombstone is a quality stone. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to feel nice.
Yeah, exactly. Quality craftsmanship here.
Yeah.
If we're talking about ghosts and spooks and whatnot.
Which we simply must.
We simply must. It's one of those things where you realize that in your life, you've not had a lot of access to Dutch ghosts.
Yeah.
I've never come across a Dutch ghost before, or any ghost really, but even in media, you don't see a lot of hauntings by the Dutch. I would have thought that the Dutch are, they're sort of that European, they're not here for silliness, you know, the Dutch. They're not here for silliness.
Very straightforward.
Well, I mean, they're Germans. Well, that means that they have no sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Vaguely, I think.
Yeah. I feel like, Matt, you've made an assumption here that I'd like to explore, in that if you've had this tombstone for any length of time, well, for an extended length of time, and there hasn't been any haunting from spooks or ghouls, then there isn't going to be haunting from spooks or ghouls in the future. Because if we know one thing about the Dutch, who are basically German, is that they know how to bide their time.
I guess that is a good point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't know what kind of encounter you're going to have. You could meet a very helpful or informative ghost.
That's true.
I've never... Is that a traditional type of ghost? I think ghosts...
Okay, well, Jacob Marley, helpful, informative, life-changing ghost.
Which one was Jacob Marley?
He was the ghost who kicked it all off for Scrooge.
So that's Ghost of Christmas Past.
No, he's just he's the MC ghost.
Yeah, he's like the hype man for the Ghost of Christmas.
He's the ghost
coming up next. Yeah. Your next ghost.
He's the ghost who, like, after the first ghost, after the Ghost of Christmas Past, goes, "Okay, we've got a lot of great ghosts to get through. Keep that applause going."
You got to recognize this next ghost from the future.
Very good friend of mine. Really kicking goals all over town. He's going to remind you of what it was like to be a little boy. Would you please bring him? So he's a helpful ghost. In fact, I would argue that all the ghosts in that particular historical record are helpful ghosts.
No, but they're not. But they're not helpful in a way that, like, they're going to help you unload your shopping from the car or whatever.
They didn't help Scrooge unload his shopping, but they taught him that he should unload his own shopping from the car. But I don't think there are any other really canonically helpful ghosts except for Casper.
Yeah. What's the most famous American ghost, Matt? Who's the most famous American ghost?
Our liberties.
Oh, my God.
You invite one American on the podcast.
See, this is the kind of satire that I was afraid would happen. It's too hot for us to touch.
That's an interesting question. Like, we don't really... I mean, all of our folk traditions have been just totally bulldozed by corporate monoculture.
Sure.
So we don't really have any kind of overarching characters like that. I guess it would have to be like Casper or something. Something
and that's
with a
so
trademark.
Pathetic,
that's for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That's like it's when you sad. Think about it, that's probably why your country's in such decline.
Did they ever find out how Casper died?
I think that is something they blessedly gloss over, at least in the comics. So do you think, Matt's just gone, I'd keep the bench. If spooks turn up, I'm taking the gamble that they're going to be helpful spooks.
Yep.
And if not, then I sell the bench.
Oh, okay.
There's no rule that says I can't sell the bench once I find out that it's in fact haunted.
But do you think you have a duty of care to the person buying your bench to tell them that it's haunted?
Honestly, that would probably make me charge more for it.
Oh, you'd want to tell some ghost freak.
The people are willing to pay big money for this stuff. There's like authentic haunted dolls and haunted cabinets all over the internet, and people are charging way more than the products would command on their own.
No, you're very right. You're very true.
See, Matt, you say that you've never bought and sold something online, but you happen to know about a very niche part of the internet, which is selling haunted artifacts.
Yeah.
Which I would say is like 80% of all e-commerce.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, do you guys want one? I don't know where this came from. I don't even know where this is from. It looks like the text is from sort of like a Facebook group. Like an advice group. And Matt, the headline for this one, their like kind of grab text is "Massive goldfish need help." "Hi everyone, I have these huge goldfish that we got at the powwow 3 years ago. They are now the size of my hand. They keep growing and they won't die." And I want to point out that This is what I would put. This has a sort of like ominous and arbitrary capitalization in this text.
Mm-hmm.
So growing has a capital G,
sure,
and won't die has a capital W and a capital D. It kind of reads like weird world building in sci-fi. Like growing has like a different meaning.
The growing,
yeah, the growing, exactly.
The won't die.
Yeah, they keep growing and won't die. I either need to put them in somebody's koi pond or get a more professional tank that has a better filter. We change the water weekly and it's literally draining us of energy. The fish are greedy, that's a capitalized G on greedy,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and eat, that's a capitalized E on eat, all the time. Beg when they see you.
They beg.
This is the first time I've ever seen in written word anywhere the idea of a fish begging.
A fish begging.
"Does anybody have a pond and need fish or have a professional looking tank to sell cheap?
Or can just bring over a toaster and drop it into the fucking tank that we have."
Well, Matt, the next line is along these lines, but I think crueler, which is, "I want to put bleach in the water and kill them, but they are now part of the family, so I feel bad." Last line, "I am just stuck."
Wow.
So whoever sent that in, thank you very much.
Oh, my goodness.
I would say, I say this about some things on the podcast, but often I don't think it's true. It's just my brain sort of like the synapses in my brain just firing.
Mm.
I think this really has a Lovecraftian quality to it.
Yeah, a cursed fish growing in a pond.
A real cursed fish that is like driving this person to the brink of insanity.
You can just imagine it throbbing.
Oh,
like it's growing so fast you can actually see it getting bigger.
Would
you
say
watch it long enough?
Would you say, Matt, that this fish might thrum with a kind of sinister and eldritch energy?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, thanks.
That sounds absolutely correct.
Are you a fish guy at all, Matt? Have you ever owned fish, gold or otherwise?
No, I've consumed several.
I love that for you. Congratulations.
I've never.
You're like, hey.
I've never had a fish.
Yeah.
I never really got fish as a as a pet.
Not even when you were a kid?
Well, no, because you can't really interact with...
Well, I beg to differ there because this guy seems to think that they will beg.
They can beg.
They will beg when they see you for more capital F food.
They'll be annoying is what you're saying. That's the one thing.
Yeah.
So the only interaction I have with them is them demanding something of me. That doesn't sound great.
So here's something I heard when I was a kid that you know when you just hear something and you file it away as true without ever interrogating it?
Sure.
And then like when you're say like 34,
uh-huh.
You're about to mention it on a podcast and you're like, wait a sec, I think that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So I was told when I was maybe 10, when my parents bought me a fish, they were like, I was like, can I have a bigger bowl for this? Because they just got me the sheer little bowl.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, because fish grow to the size of the tank they're in.
I think I've heard that.
Okay, but
I have heard that, yeah.
But here's why, now saying it out loud, I don't think this is true.
Mm.
Because fish live in the ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
And the ocean is one of the biggest tanks of all.
It's probably
Well, that's how they got whales.
The ocean is probably the biggest, most professional fish tank you can find.
Yeah, yeah. It's got its own filters. It's got its own... garbage patch.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe it is true. If two intelligent people,
I think it would be goldfish grow to the size of the pond. I mean, of the thing they're in, right?
Yeah, that's what they say about the goldfish. That's
well, so what's happened here is that what's confusing to me is that this guy doesn't have a professional tank because he says that he wants one, and yet his fish seem to be growing to the size of his own hand. So are they just like pressed up against the tank, like some sort of horrible monster?
I've just briefly Googled this.
Uh-huh.
Do goldfish... This is, I'm now in sort of gold... I mean, Tropical Fish Magazine.
Oh, yeah, you simply have to subscribe.
Yeah, and this is... the article is entitled Goldfish, Myths Debunked.
Finally. Because you know what? I don't know if you know this, Matt, but there's a real curse of misinformation around.
Fake news, they call it.
Yeah, exactly. So myth number two, goldfish only grow to the size of their enclosure.
Okay.
There is an element of truth to this,
uh-huh.
but it is not as innocent as it sounds.
Oh, no.
It's more related to the quality of water. When properly cared for, goldfish will not...
What do you mean it's not as innocent as it sounds?
Well, I don't know.
What the fuck are you talking about?
This is what the Tropical Fish Magazine has written. It's not as innocent as it sounds, Ben. Grow up. Grow up, you idiot.
Oh, the scales have fallen from my eyes.
When properly cared for, goldfish will not stop growing. Most fish are, in fact, what are known as indeterminate growers. That means that, unlike humans, they grow until they die. So you know how you go through a growth spurt, in puberty or whatever?
I don't believe I did. Go on.
Stopped. Yeah, a goldfish, they're constantly growing.
Oh, they grow until they die.
Yeah, so unless you are able to pour bleach into this pond and kill the fish, they'll just keep growing. Matt, did you have any pets growing up?
We had a cat.
Mm-hmm. Did it grow to an ungodly size?
Yeah, it just would not stop growing. we had to defeat it with a sword. No, it ran away at one point.
And never came back or just...
Yeah, I think so. I don't really remember.
What do you mean?
I was a small child. I just know that one day it wasn't there anymore.
How old were you when your cat left?
I don't know, like 7 or 8 maybe.
I'd remember. I'd remember. This is sussing. This is now a true crime podcast.
What did you do to the cat?
I had nothing
Matt?
To do with
what
the disappearance did you do to the cat? I did not.
We're pivoting to true crime. Were you somebody who like had pets as a kid? Like this cat, for example, that you
mysteriously killed or whatever.
That you did away with.
That you really Mitt Romney'd.
And then grew up just without pets?
We had a dog later when I was like a teenager.
But do you have pets like now that you don't live with your folks?
I have a dog.
I'm making an assumption here that you don't live with your folks.
No, I have a dog.
Oh, you have a dog?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've found, and this is like such an annoying parent thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
I've found that since becoming a parent, I've gone completely off dogs. Because dogs are great, but my son is so fucking stupid. And so, like, I don't mean stupid for a 2-year-old. He's brilliant for a 2-year-old.
Okay, well.
Oh, he's brilliant. Guys, you don't understand his child. He looked at a kangaroo and said, okay. This shows a sort of like level of mental fortitude that like... But no, in terms of like for a human,
yeah,
he's so fucking dumb.
Well, compared to you, he's very stupid.
Well, I mean, yes. I'm so strong compared to him too.
Oh, yeah, you could destroy it.
Wait, what does this have to do with dogs?
I can swim. I can do all sorts of things. The other day he was trying to snap a stick, and he couldn't snap a stick, and he said, "Daddy, snap." Mm. And I snapped it. And
was he proud of you?
No, he was like, just like, okay. He said, okay again. And I was like, that should really impress you. If you like spent so long trying to do something and you couldn't, he wasn't even bending this fucking thing. You know what I mean? And I did it straight away. I expected his jaw to drop and be like, oh my God, who is this giant? But he was just like, thanks.
Matt, this is the part of the podcast where you and I both have to tell Ben he's big and strong.
Thank you very much.
I'll go first, Ben. You're very big and strong.
Thank you very much. And Matt?
Yeah, very powerful.
Okay. Well, it sort of felt like you were kind of phoning that in, man. Like,
I'm very impressed.
Thank you. Well, that's
you
good.
You snapped a stick, don't you know?
And my son couldn't snap the stick, you see. So, like, that should give you some idea of what kind of stick we're dealing with here. That I just snapped it like a twig.
Yes, like a twig.
But anyway, the reason is that Mo has zero sort of survival instincts and will just go up to any dog in a park and, like, pat it. And, and like, that's how he's going to die. And
He's going to get eaten by a dog.
He's going to get eaten by a dog. And so, like, now he's robbed me of... Moses has robbed me of two things.
Uh-huh.
The ability to enjoy dogs, which is, like, which is pretty bad, I think. Because now when I see a dog, I don't go, oh, that's a sweet dog. I go, like, oh, that's going to kill my son. and the ability to find bad things happening to children funny.
Oh, yeah. That was your favorite thing, though.
Well, it was my favorite thing.
It was your favorite thing.
There's like
the amount of videos you sent me where a small boy is, I would like falls off a treadmill or gets hit by a pillow or something.
So like,
or thrown into a bin.
There was one clip I'm thinking of, which is like friend of the podcast J.R. Hennessy's favorite clip on the internet, which is this little Russian kid who's like three. He's like on a talk show and he's really good at chess. He's like famous for being good at chess. He's like three or four.
Sure.
And the host is like, you like chess, do you? Well, how about you play against Garry Kasparov? And then Kasparov walks out and the kid like is initially excited. And then Kasparov, because he's Garry Kasparov, just destroys this child at chess. Just like not even like doesn't even like humor this boy. Just destroys him. And the kid starts crying. And it was the funniest clip. And now I can't watch it because it makes me sad. This is what you have taken from me, Moses. Anyway, it's fine. Everything's fine.
I once
got
a goldfish.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't realize this podcast was a forum for outrageous boasting.
I went to a school fair when I was in probably year eight or year seven. There was this thing. They had a big, they had like maybe 60 little buckets. You had to throw a ping pong ball into one of the buckets.
This is, by the way, how we elect the Prime Minister in Australia.
I assume.
And if you got a ping pong ball in one of the buckets, it turned you won whatever was in the bucket.
Okay.
And some of the buckets had goldfish in them and some of them didn't.
Oh, so it was goldfish or nothing? It wasn't like, oh, one of them's a Game Boy, but sorry.
I think some of them had chocolates in them and stuff.
In water?
Yeah, but they were wrapped. They were wrapped. Okay. So you get a wet wrapped Snickers bar
or whatever. I've been to a lot of fates in my time, not to boast again. I have never heard of this bullshit game.
But the hack I found realized was because they wanted to transport the goldfish afterwards to give them to you, they had them in little plastic bags, but they hadn't tied up the bags. So you could see the buckets that had the goldfish in them because they had a bag on the side.
That's not so much a hack as it is just noticing something.
Yeah, well, I thought of it as a hack. Anyway, I realized this and they were like, these fucking dumb kids won't know what it is. But I was like, I know how to get the goldfish.
Sure.
I just sat there and won. Like, you know that episode, you know that fucking documentary about the guy who works out the Jeopardy game, and then he like wins and wins and wins.
I
was that
you,
guy.
You broke goldfish ping pong.
I broke goldfish ping pong,
and they can't play it anymore.
Yeah,
in the you're 90, that guy. You're that
the,
kid
in the 1998 Trinity Grammar School.
Jesus,
I don't know, school fate.
Because that used to be in the Olympics, and they had to stop playing it.
Well, I won. I reckon 15 goldfish for people that day. Just like bam, bam, bam.
That's simply too many.
And my friends and I were all taking these goldfish
home. Now, was this for, like, I assume this was for charity, this stall.
I think it was to build a new, like, gold post or something in the school. Yeah, it's fucking.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Stupid.
Matt, I've texted you one with a picture.
Yeah. It says, our man canvas parties, guests get to paint every inch of our models. That's right, ladies, even those inches. The emoji that is supposed to indicate, guests double entendres. Drop us a message today to find out more about getting one of our art teachers and man canvas models to come to your hen's party, or just get a bunch of friends together and do it just for fun. And then there's an image of a woman wearing a sash.
We got to assume that says bride-to-be or...
Mm. Yeah, she appears to be very, very fixatedly painting this guy's dick. You can't see the dick. You can only see his painted ass cheeks.
But Matt, we wouldn't send you a picture.
I really just wish... I just wish that she had a jeweler's loop or something to indicate like the seriousness of her, because she really does look. She looks like she's restoring a Renaissance painting. She's really focused.
Yeah.
So this is a service where a male model will go to your party or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then presumably they come with a little palette of paints.
Yeah, I assume they'd bring their own paints in case, like, you...
Well, you want... Otherwise, you want to use, like, non-safe...
Like house ones. Paint on him or something.
Yeah. And then you get to paint... You get to paint the human canvas all those inches, including... every inch, including those inches.
I want to say that as Hens Night's activities go, this is not one of the worst.
And it's actually... It's interesting because it is somebody really innovating by doing what most innovations end up being, which is taking two or more existing things and just smashing them together.
Exactly.
In this case, they brought together the hallowed tradition of the stripper invited for your bachelor party.
Yes.
And then that thing where you drink wine and paint.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
And somebody just said, what if you painted the guy?
Yeah.
And boom, done.
That was the pitch to an angel investor.
But also, by painting the guy in many ways, it's a reverse stripper. Because
you're making him less nude.
You're covering up all the, I presume, nipples and assholes. And
I don't think you're painting his asshole.
Every inch. I would actually start from
You just end. Get a roller. You just have him bend over and you get a roller and just absolutely pancake the asshole.
Can you imagine the guy being like, oh, we don't usually do that. Hing's there with the contract. Every inch.
Let me paint your asshole.
The way they painted him in the picture is like the Gautier film clip.
Yeah, it's all... It's
geometric shapes.
Well, what if you just wrote the word cunt on him? Like, on his forehead.
Well, that would be weirdly vindictive.
Yeah, I guess this nude model has done nothing to harm me.
Well, we don't know that. He could have killed your parents. He could have killed your parents and then thought he got away with it this whole time, and now he's got all these investors because he's smushed two really good ideas together. And he's making bank until he gets a mysterious booking from an M. Hing. Although just writing cunt on someone's forehead and sending them on their way is, I would say, not the most amazing revenge for killing someone's parents. It's not like Count of Monte Cristo level.
No. I wonder, yeah. would you feel comfortable, Matt, would you feel comfortable painting a nude body?
No.
Hens Night or otherwise?
No. Like, they're right there. They're looking at you.
Well, what if they didn't look at you?
You got to, like, make eye contact, or you have to avoid making eye contact. Either way, hugely stressful.
Either way, your eyes have got to do something.
They got to go somewhere. You have, like, no.
Well, as a special thank you.
This is like the things like this and, like, the sushi off the nude body are ones where I can't imagine enjoying.
Sorry, what the
for
fuck
even a
are
second.
You talking about?
Sushi off a nude body. I feel like I've seen that in movies before. I've seen that in a movie.
You haven't seen the film? Excuse me. You have not seen the film Rising Sun with Sean Connery and Wesley Snipes? The pinnacle of the Japanese panic movies of the early 90s?
Talk me through this, Matt. Because I've not seen Rising Sun with Sean Connery and Wesley Snipes.
This is a real... Well, it's in Rising Sun, but it's also a thing that happens. People do it at parties. They have sushi And instead of eating the sushi off of a table, they put the sushi. The sushi is plated on a nude body, usually a nude woman. And then you take the sushi. You take your chopsticks and you take it. Take off your nigiri or whatever, off the nipple, and
is
you
the
eat it.
Sorry, is That's is the thing point that you are meant to, is this when you say at party, is this like an Eyes Wide Shut like fuck party, or is this just a sort of 50th birthday? Like what festivities?
It's not sexual. It's like a thing.
Matt,
to make a fancy
I would argue
meal.
That it is at least I think partly it's, sexual.
I've never been to one.
Well, yeah, it does not You go to a place with a nude sushi, it is not, that is not to the audience, to the person coming in, that does not say to them, you're going to have sex tonight.
No, I know.
It does not, it does not require that to be the case.
I've heard about these and I've seen the movie Rising Sun, but I've never experienced this in real life. Have you ever been, is this one of those things that just happens in movies or is this actually a thing that happens in America?
I have heard about it occurring in real places. That's heard about crazy. It being done like by somebody at their birthday party as like a bit. You know, there is no way to ironically have someone lie there naked while you eat fish off of them.
Yeah, that's...
That's really happening.
Imagining doing that and just being like, ooh, don't you get it? Imagine if we did this, which we are doing.
I guess I'd be worried. I mean, obviously, you know, I'd be worried about the hygiene issues and whatnot, you know.
I think they'd come with some sort of guarantee that they've had a shower and...
Of course, but even like if you're washing hands, you still want people to be wearing gloves in the kitchen, you know what I mean?
That's true. I wouldn't eat sushi off somebody's flattened palm. I don't know why I do it off their boobs. You know what I mean? I wouldn't, like a horse, eat sushi off somebody's flattened palm.
How much would it cost to allow me or a group of our friends to eat sushi off your naked body? What's your price?
Do I have to be completely nude?
I guess you can have a modesty sock.
Well, now you have my attention. No, I think you have to go in. I think you have to do it.
If you're fully nude, what's this going to cost you?
What's the event?
I don't know. It's a birthday party for a...
Who?
For me. It's my birthday party.
No, absolutely not.
What do you mean? Absolutely what do you mean absolutely not?
First of all, I want to be there because the people there who I like hanging out with.
Okay.
And I can't hang out... You know what I mean?
Like, once everyone's eaten the sushi, Ben, you'll be allowed to enjoy the party.
What it is it's like...
You know how you're one of those fucking... Like at some industry function or some shit where people are walking around with canapes.
Yes.
And they have like, oh, would you like a little burger or whatever?
Yeah.
And you always feel really
Never
awkward.
Never enough of those little burgers.
Because you always feel really awkward because I'm like, I find the whole thing horribly awkward because I don't like being waited on. I don't, you know, enjoy anything. Such a
man. Yeah, exactly. People. Like I barely make eye contact with fucking waiters.
Yeah, exactly. And do you think if you're the nude sushi model, you've also got to be like, oh, sir, would you like some sushi off my boob?
May I tempt you with some boob sushi? Because I can't get up and leave until all the sushi
eat
is
all
eaten.
Sushi.
Because that was the agreement that I made with my friend Michael Hing.
Anyway, so name your price.
I'd probably do it for $10,000.
$10,000?
Well, yeah. La-di-da, Jesus Christ.
Would you do it for less than that?
You would deign to get off your throne?
What's your price?
Solid gold throne in order to get $10,000 to just lie there while somebody takes a fucking crunchy roll off your nipple? Like that's any skin off your ass?
I didn't invite you on to be roasted.
And yet here we are.
And yet here we are. Matt, you host a podcast, which is Chapo Trap House. The most recent one I listened to, you chatted with Adam McKay again, which was really cool.
Yes. Love that guy.
Yeah. Lovely guy. Do you have, you guys are doing, like, you guys are back doing live shows, or did you just do that one in Brooklyn?
No, we're doing it in June.
Oh,
and
in June.
It's going to be live for us. Everyone will be on stage, but it will be broadcast.
Oh, so no one can come.
I don't think anyone will be able to come. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they'll let people in by that point.
Yeah, I feel like things will have blown over by June.
And I am hoping that we do. I am really hoping that we do get to do live shows again with crowds soon. But this, as now, is not going to be it.
Is that something you legitimately enjoy doing? Like doing
Oh yeah, I'm a big. I love doing live shows. One like, of my favorite things about the show.
Before Chapo, were you a live guy? Did you like doing live stuff?
I mean, I was alive. Yes, I wasn't.
He loved it. He loved.
I wasn't
alive.
Brought to eldritch life by the podcast medium. No, I was a human.
I just assumed that you lived in a Zoom recorder and then.
Yeah, I didn't really perform.
Yeah, that's my question.
And the thing is yeah, that's. Doing the show really did give me a chance to perform in front of an audience, and I found that I really liked doing that.
Yeah, great.
So that was nice.
So yeah, when this whole pandemic thing has blown over, as it will any day now.
Yes.
What's the deal? Can you go outside?
I'm in California now, and okay. In California it has largely it's like the lowest infection rate in the country at the moment.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that was all me. And partially part of that is because like I'm in the LA area and they fucked it up so badly that like a third of the county had it.
Oh, right. So there's like
a lot of people are just, yeah, they have antibodies from that. But now that they're getting vaccinations going well, it's pretty good. You could go inside now.
Can you see stuff or like is that?
You could go to movie theaters again. Cool. The movie theaters are open. Mm. I don't know if live entertainment though has really come back up, but yeah, it seems like it's on the upswing again.
Just on live movie theaters. I don't know if either of you saw the trailer for the latest Fast and Furious movie that's just come out.
I have not. Matt, have you seen that?
I have not.
It's Fast and Furious 15 or whatever. Sure. It's the last one. It involves Vin Diesel doing a direct to camera address saying, "Everyone, the thing we missed most about the pandemic was movie theaters."
Really?
Like he's like for 100 years we've gathered.
Do you think that's Vin Diesel in character?
No, it's Vin Diesel as Vin Diesel, because he's talking about you should come and see this movie.
Okay.
Unless in character he knows.
Well, here's my question, which Michael, we've spoken about in the podcast before, and Matt, you're a movie guy. I'd love your views on this before we go. In the Fast and the Furious franchise, or like kind of any, this kind of applies to any movie really that's set in the real world, which Fast and the Furious very much is.
Of course.
Does Vin Diesel exist?
In the Fast and the Furious world.
Is there an actor called, like, who was in Chronicles of Riddick? Or let me put it a different way. In the Fast and the Furious films, who was in the Chronicles of Riddick?
Right.
Because definitely Judi Dench was still in
there. Of course.
That's fun.
Yeah,
because she doesn't have a dub. I don't believe she's in the Fast and Furious franchise.
I think without Fast and Furious, he probably wouldn't be in Chronicles of Riddick.
No, Riddick was first.
Was it?
Almost certainly.
Really?
Fuck, maybe not.
No, because Chronicles of Riddick is a sequel to a movie called Pitch Black.
Yes, that's true.
And that movie had the character, and that came out in 2000. And first Fast and the Furious movie came out in... Let me just check here.
Quickly Googling.
Using the internet. 2001. So the character of Riddick existed before the character of Dominic Toretto.
So in the Fast and the Furious movies, can Dominic Toretto go down to the local Blockbusters, which still exist in the first film, and rent the Chronicles of Riddick? And if he does, who is he going to see playing, I think, the titular character of Riddick?
So it's got to be an actor who's... of that vintage, but is not in
the
Furious films.
Well, I think that for the first four of them, it's The Rock before The Rock showed up in the Fast and the Furious movies. And then,
we have a separate problem.
Then we have a separate problem. Yeah. Then they have
Matt,
to bring in a new guy.
You're just kicking the can down the road here.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a solution in a way. Whenever I talk about this, the only thing that I will actually find satisfying about this, like the only solution I've found satisfying to be is the Ocean's 12 solution, but that's fucked. I don't want to get
into
that.
Which is just, they look a bit like Julia Roberts.
Yeah, like I would be really happy if in the film Good Will Hunting, for example, there was just one line where Matt Damon's like, "You look so much like the guy who played Mork," and then they can move on. You know what I mean? And then I can enjoy the film. I can watch the film and I can enjoy it. As long as that's out of the way. I just think that's a neat solution. I think that works. Matt Crispin, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for showing me that man's ass.
Michael, I'll probably put this out today. So we have a show at the Comedy Store.
And then in 2 weeks' time, we'll be doing a Star Wars role-playing game. Very cool stuff.
Yeah,
very
don't
cool.
say that stuff in front of Matt. I mean, like...
You're taunting me here. With all of your ability to go outside and do things and swap spit and air.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are still alive at the Comedy Store yeah. just spitting in each other's mouths.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
In direct defiance of our American friends.
Yeah, going to be licking chairs, sitting on chairs, licking tables. It's going to be just a real fucking saliva fest. So you can get tickets to that on the internet. Mm-hmm. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. You can listen to Matt on Chapo Trap House. And until next time,
bye. If you like pina coladas.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.